In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. God hides. He is not where we expect him to be, and so the Magi leave the holy city and head for Bethlehem. Nathanael scoffs at the man from Nazareth, and the Pharisees despise the one who eats with tax collectors, sinners, and prostitutes. He chooses the weak things of the world to shame the wise. That is, he chooses things the world despises to shame the worldly minded. The omnipotent, invincible, glorious God hides in suffering, lifted up to draw all men to himself. We do not expect to find the eternal creator of heaven and earth languishing, bleeding, and dying. We do not expect the holy and righteous Lord to be called the serpent. And yet Jesus identifies himself with the serpent that Moses lifted up. He became the embodiment of evil, not by what he did, of course, he is pure and holy, but by what he carried. Every sinful thought rested on his head, every sinful word sat on his tongue, every sinful action burdened his shoulders. And the punishment for sin is death in hell. So as we peer into hell on that dark Friday afternoon, we see our God. Where you think he would never be, in sin and in hell, that is precisely where he was. Nothing is below him. When we ponder the mystery of the Holy Trinity, we cannot separate him from his sacrificial death. Now, the Father does not die for you, and neither does the Spirit. The Father does not take on flesh, and neither does the Spirit. But the Father and the Spirit are properly revealed through the cross. The Father loves the unlovable and sends his Son to lay down his life for those who rebel against him. The Son does not die for an abstraction, an idea, or for people generally, but he intentionally lays down his life for specific individuals. Not one was forgotten. He knew each intimate detail of every person, and he knew what each individual needed, and he provided it. He knew their secret sins, and he took them away, and while they were bent on destroying him, he revealed God to them in the darkness of that day. There is life in his flesh. He saved the sinner, made the enemy sons of God, and turned rebels into princes and princesses in his kingdom. The Father welcomes you back with no strings attached. The Spirit forgives you. As often as you have sinned, he wipes your slate clean. So the cross reveals the mystery of the Trinity more clearly than anything else. How can one who is complete in and of himself act as if he needs us? Why would he who knows all things create creatures knowing that they would sin? Why would the infinite become finite? Why would the Almighty, who can do all things, choose a cross as the way of salvation? Love. It can only be love, a sacrificial love. No one comes to the Father except through the one who is crucified. Learn of this cruciform love and you learn of God. Do not search for him out in nature. Yes, he is there, but he will not reveal this love to you. Do not search for him in his own attributes or essence, for all men are drawn to him when he is lifted up. There he uses his vast knowledge to remove each and every sin, even the ones you are unaware of. There he uses his limitless power to make satisfaction for your sin. And even on the last day when he returns in glory, it will be the glory won by his cross, for the marks in his hands will still be there. God does not want you to know him apart from his cross. And so he hides in the most unlikely of places, in suffering, in pain, in death, in sin, and in hell. That's offensive. Nathanael and the Pharisees thought it offensive. Our fallen, prideful flesh finds it offensive. And so it seeks to change it or to diminish it. How many Christian cards, when they want to picture the glory and majesty of God, how many of them depict bright rays of sun shining through clouds, or a sunset over an ocean, or majestic mountains, or soaring eagles, or a field of flowers? These images are all over church websites as well. Where is his flesh and blood? Where is his humanity? Where is his cross? Where is our Savior? Our prideful flesh does not want to see him there. It desires beauty, not blood, power, not sacrifice, inspiration, not hope. And we have perhaps fallen into the temptation that Christianity must give us some kind of euphoric experience. A sense of ecstasy, joy, or happiness, or at least a calming sensation, a peaceful feeling. We judge God's presence by how we feel, not by his word. And so when we have good days, good feelings, we determine that God must be close to us and blessing us. And when we have bad days or turbulent feelings, then we determine that God must be far away from us. But let us rather judge him by his cross. That is, let us see beauty in his blood and power in his cross and inspiration as the hope that comes from his death and resurrection. Let us see his cross plunged into the waters of baptism for the renewal of nations. To love the cross is to love baptism. For there is his blood, his power, and his inspiration. There it is washed over us. God hides. In mundane and common, everyday things, he hides in the most abundant resource on earth, water. We drink it. Kids play in it. We wash in it. And yet when the word is added to that water, it becomes a washing of new birth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. In fact, if you are not washed, you have no part of his cross. The unwashed remain in the sinful birth of their mother, clothed with the fallen flesh of their fathers. But the washed have a new father and a new mother. They have already experienced a resurrection of soul and of body. They have been made new, born alive by water, born again by water and the Spirit. When you left that font, if you are old enough to remember, when you left that font, you looked no different. You acted no different. You felt, perhaps, no different. And yet you were completely different. You were clothed with Christ. The Father claimed you, and the Spirit filled you. God hides in water because he wants you to live by faith. He comes in baptism and not in grand experiences or ecstatic feelings or positive outlooks, because he wants you to live by faith, not by sight. Baptism is a one-time act because he wants you to trust in what he has done for you there and to not doubt his word. He wants you to know him as the God who lays down his life for you and called you out of the nations. So judge him not by how you feel. Judge him not by how your day or your week or your life has gone. But judge him by this bath, which is to judge him by his cross. Come to him not as he is found in nature or in your feelings, but come to him as a baptized child of God in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. For when this water defines you, then his cross defines you. God hides in suffering, in pain, and in death. He hides in the most unlikely of places, in your suffering, in your pain, and in your death. When you feel like God is far from you, he is actually closest. When life turns against you, he is actually pulling you tighter in. At such times, you are called to live by faith in his cross, to not give up what he has promised to you in that bath, but to hold firmly to it. He is with you because he has washed you, and he will not let you suffer harm though many storms may gather. He hides behind our suffering to conform us to Christ. Pick up your cross and follow him. No servant is greater than his master. Your life will be like Christ's, for you are washed into him, so that your death may be like his, and you may gain the eternal inheritance prepared for you. The greater the trouble, the greater the blessing. Take death, for example. The greatest evil. And yet, is not the death of Christ your hope, your life, your joy, and your salvation? And does not your death bring you into the eternal life promised to you? God hides in the most unlikely of places. Where you think he would never be, that is precisely where he is. Nothing is below him, and so nothing is beneath you. He is not where you expect him to be because he is not like you. So know his cross. Know your baptism. And then you rightly know this triune God who saves. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.